Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Hi, I'm Aaron Kinney, professional football player and volunteer firefighter. Did you know that nearly half of all on-duty fire deaths are caused by heart attacks? Don't become a statistic. Take the challenge to become heart healthy. Visit healthy-firefighter.org. Firefighters, EMS personnel, and their families are invited to explore the site to find out how easy and rewarding it is to get healthy. It takes a person with the heart to do this job. Keep it strong.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this podcast on 21st century recruitment and retention for the emergency services. This is Bill Genoway, and today with me are Phil Stittleberg, Jim Monahan, and Jack Carriger. And we're going to talk to you today about some of the key issues surrounding recruitment and retention in the emergency services around the country. We're going to start today by some key points being referenced from the United States Fire Administration study on 21st century recruitment and retention issues. Following that, we're going to have an interchange between the four participants to highlight some of the key findings, some of the key results they have seen in their role in the National Volunteer Fire Council. So with that, let's review some of the key points about recruitment and retention in today's world. It has become a major concern of the volunteer emergency response community in America. The numbers tell the story. Only a decade ago, there were over 1 million volunteer firefighters. These numbers have dropped to just 800,000, and the bleeding continues. For some time, the United States Fire Administration has had a document available regarding recruitment and retention of volunteer firefighters. However, as time goes on, changes in how you approach recruiting and retaining members must be undertaken. Recognizing this, the USFA provided a grant to the National Volunteer Fire Council to revise that reference document, to create an educational program, and to provide training to America's fire service in these new issues. Research was conducted in 2005, and in 2006, training was conducted in 12 venues, and the text was revised, edited, and finalized. Why was this project done? Because it's recognized that people are the most important emergency service resource, and we cannot afford to lose this resource. The research resulted in three key finding statements that one must understand before approaching this issue of recruitment and retention. First, recruitment and retention is a local problem. The needs, the leadership, and the challenges are all local. Recruitment is marketing, and you must market all the time. However, you need to determine what skill and knowledge sets you need that you'll be recruiting for. You need to conduct a needs assessment, and you need to make sure you invest your time appropriately. And benefit programs require you to know what the members want before it becomes an incentive. Now, overriding all of these is the issue of leadership. It has become a prominent issue with regard to why people stay or why they leave. Leadership became characterized as an art, a science, and a style. It's a third dimension, going beyond doing things the old way. Effective leaders were found to look beyond the numbers and set the direction for an organization. They integrate the business of doing business with the whys, what's, where's, how's, and when's. Now, this project features some research that was done by St. Joseph's University's Public Safety and Environmental Protection Institute. It's part of their graduate program in public safety. The research highlighted a better definition of the reasons people no longer volunteer their time to such agencies as volunteer emergency service groups. Make a quick comparison. If your members are leaving, is it because they don't have the time, poor leadership, health and medical problems, family responsibility, volunteering is no longer relevant to that person, they move away, other interests are more prominent, they have too many competing demands, the organization is problematic, or maybe no one's asked them to stay? You may have to actually poll your members who have left in order to determine why they're leaving, or conduct exit interviews when people do leave the organization. What makes people stay involved? Much of the ability to retain people centers upon motivating members on a shared vision. And research has found that this is facilitated effectively in many cases by a fire or EMS agency being able to accommodate individual needs, provide rewards and recognition, having adequate supervision and leadership, and most of all, challenging members. The retention issues are not only individual, but they can be by group and may be local. While volunteer emergency responders typically join to help others, over time other factors enter into why they stay or why they leave. And in fact, today, benefits play a significant role in how long and why people do stay. Again, the research that was conducted found that there are some techniques that are very successfully used as benefits, and these include a simple thank you. In some cases, people look for direct monetary incentives like pay-per-call, length of service awards, or retirement programs. They may be looking for indirect monetary incentives such as passes to local functions, events and activities, meals, gift certificates, even promotion in news articles, uniforms, and awards, just to name a few. Again, you may need to poll your local personnel to determine the reasons that they are no longer interested in volunteering. So, as I conclude this short, brief introduction on recruitment and retention issues, remember the key points. Recruitment and retention is a local problem. The needs, the leadership, and the challenges are all local. Recruitment is marketing, and you must market all the time. However, you need to determine what skills and knowledge sets you need to recruit for. You need to conduct a needs assessment before you begin your recruitment. And benefit programs require you to know in advance what people are interested in. So that's the background that the study found as key issues facing the emergency service recruitment and retention tasks of the 2000s. Now, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to ask our colleagues from around the country about some of the neat things they're seeing implemented and how they may be applicable to you.
Hi, I'm Aaron Kinney, professional football player and volunteer firefighter. Fire and EMS departments need your help to fight fires and emergencies of all kinds. The National Volunteer Fire Council provides a nationwide recruitment campaign to boost the emergency and non-emergency ranks in the fire service. Call 1-800-FIRELINE to find out about volunteer opportunities near you. You can also visit nvfc.org.
With us to discuss recruitment and retention issues in the volunteer, fire, and emergency medical service community are three key figures from the National Volunteer Fire Council. Current chairman from Wisconsin is Phil Stittleberg. Also with us is past chairman and Delaware director Jim Monahan, and the current second vice chairman from Oregon, Jack Carriger. We're going to start with Phil. And Phil, in your role as chairman of the National Volunteer Fire Council, what techniques have you seen used that are successful in recruitment and retention?
Bill, as you've so correctly pointed out, recruitment and retention truly is a local issue, and so there is not a one-size-fits-all, but programs that I have seen throughout the country that have been successful have contained a number of elements that I have identified. First of all, I think they've been able to retain the fun factor. Sometimes that gets lost in the shuffle and concern about the serious business that we do, and we forget that people join partially because they want to enjoy what they're doing, and the importance of humor, I think, is sometimes lost in the shuffle. Another factor that I frequently see is just the sense of belonging. We all remember from high school sociology the primary group concept, where we all want to belong to a primary group that gives us special recognition, and I think that's certainly an element of why people think it's important to be part of the volunteer field. Also, common goals or challenges, I think, are important. And I'm not talking here about just responding to emergency runs, but a particular goal, maybe a new station or a new engine. For instance, a couple of years ago, my own department, we went through our ISO rating, and our goal was to try to improve both our municipal and our rural ISO rating significantly, and that was something that really raised the morale of the department when they had this goal to work for. I think also an important component that I have seen is just simply the importance of thank you. It's important for the fire department to say thank you to people who've done things. And I'm not talking, again, about things necessarily have to be tremendously out of the ordinary. Mentioning in front of the entire fire department that last week somebody came down and helped stuff envelopes for our flyers or something is the kind of thing that I think is important. Also, I think thank you from the general public is very important. Sometimes the general public says thank you in exactly those words, and when that happens, it's very helpful. When you have the property owner that wants to say thank you for saving their structure or doing something like that, it's nice to say, well, you know, would you mind putting it in writing? Would you send it to the local newspaper, for instance? And that means a lot. Also, I think that as volunteers, we need to learn to recognize when the public is saying thank you, because they do that in ways other than simply using those words. In other words, when they buy our raffle tickets and support our fundraisers, or when they say approve our budget, just as we've proposed it, even though money is tight and they know it's going to be difficult to raise it, but that's nonetheless a thank you. So, Bill, those are a few of the key factors I've seen in successful programs around the country.
Thanks, Phil. And you know, many of the issues that you raise have an underlying factor, and that's leadership. Because the individual, whether it's the chief or the deputy chief or the president or the chairman of the board or whoever it is that's driving the organization, has to understand that they need to push people in directions, and they need to motivate them to get things done. And leadership, as was mentioned earlier, is an overriding concept that has to be applied not just to recruitment and retention, but to the whole organization design. This is an area, Jim, that I know you've had experience with in the past, and I believe you might be best suited to make a couple of comments about leadership.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. In the late 90s, about 97, 98, we had a grant from the Fire Administration to develop a program on 21st century leadership in the volunteer fire service, and it was an overview of everything. Everything from financing to recruitment, retention, human resources, and so forth. We're looking at revising this and reviving it, or resuscitating it, if you want to call it that, into specifically retention and recruitment. And if you notice, I say retention and recruitment. Generally, the catchword here is recruitment and retention. But we learned early on that retention is the biggest problem. I know of a department that recruited 35 people in 1 year and came ahead 2 in a roster. Now, that's not a recruitment problem, that's a retention problem. And generally, if you ask a department to look at what their problem is and look at it closely, you usually find it is retention. So this leadership program, first of all, our original program was an excellent program, but it was a long program because it did try to do everything. And hopefully this will be a little more focused, or will be more focused. We recognized in the National Volunteer Fire Council in the middle 80s this retention and recruitment issue developing. It started very subtly in the early 1980s. We started to lose ground here and there, little spots. Generally, they were towns around a metropolitan area, but there wasn't consistent. And by 1986, we saw a trend. So we supported a professor of psychology, Ken Perkins, at Longwood College in Farmville, Virginia, who is also, by coincidence, a volunteer firefighter, to do a study. And he did, and it was a grassroots study. You were talking about exit interviews and so forth. He didn't do exit interviews, but what he did was he selected companies across the country and actually sent questionnaires to people who had left the department. Well, surprise, surprise, when the results came back, it said the problem was leadership. So we just bit the bullet and said, well, that's the problem. Well, every survey since then has also said leadership. So, ergo, the reviving of the seminar. But I agree with everything that's been said so far. You have to take these people into the department. You just don't sign them up and then look around in 6 months to see where they are, because they're gone. It's how you treat people and how you deal with people, and that is a major problem.
So I think you also have an implication there that when you do leadership training, you really have to be cognizant of what messages are being communicated, what the time frames are, because if you don't focus what you're trying to get people to understand about being a leader, it can quickly get lost in overabundance of material or several messages and things of that nature, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And they need to understand they need to have a program for these people when you bring them in the department. You can't just bring them in and drop them on the doorstep. You really need to know what they're going to be doing.
Okay, great points, Jim. Well, I guess as we move through this and think a little bit more about the relationship of leadership to many of these initiatives that Phil talked about. It brings us to you, Jack, and of course you're on the West Coast. So are there differences between what may work in recruitment retention on the West Coast versus the East Coast, or do you see similar types of issues?
I think there's both, Bill, both similar and differences. The East Coast has a lot more tradition, and a lot of their companies have established programs within their companies like restaurants and social gathering places that you don't see as much on the West Coast. So the social aspect on the West Coast for volunteer firefighters is a little different than on the East Coast. But the main problems or challenges for recruiting and retaining volunteer firefighters are pretty much universal. And I would have to agree with Phil and Jim on some of the points they've made. I think leadership is one thing that we need to keep coming back to, and that leadership has to present the type of leadership that creates an environment that people want to be a part of. If you have, I noticed that through the years that I've been fortunate enough to travel with NVFC, I've noticed that the most successful departments are the departments that have standards, have expectations, and hold their people accountable. I think for the most part, volunteers want to be a part of an organization that's maybe a little bit bigger than their everyday walk of life, and that gives them the satisfaction that they're looking for while they're volunteering. And as you mentioned earlier, there's an undetermined number of things that people can volunteer for. So that goes back to the leadership being able to create that environment that people want to come and be a part of. And I think one of the most important things about how we approach leadership is how we select who that leader is going to be. I think we have all been challenged in tradition over the years of voting for leadership positions or promoting somebody because they're the nicest guy or promoting it because that's the next family member. And I truly think that if we want to find success in retention of our volunteer fire service, which Jim mentioned as being the highest priority of the two, I think we as leaders of the fire service have to overcome that obstacle of selection of the leadership. Once you do that and you have people that have good people skills, not necessarily just good firefighting skills, but good people skills, and the ability to understand people and what their needs are and how to satisfy their interests, then I think the recruitment problem also is addressed, because those are the very people that will be the strongest members of your marketing team, is the people that are there and strong, energetic parts of that organization. They will go out and find you other people that they are comfortable working with, and your success rate for retention will definitely improve.
Okay, great points, Jack. We're going to take another break now, and when we come back, we're going to have each of our guests today summarize a couple of key points that you can take with you and improve your own retention and recruitment programs.
I'm Brian Williams, NBC Nightly News. As a former volunteer firefighter, I know fire departments around this country need your help with fundraising, education, promotions, and other non-emergency tasks. Visit www.firecorps.org to find a program near you.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your comments today as we discuss the important topic of what I'm going to change the topic on and call retention and recruitment. And I say that because many people have approached me around the country and said that they believe retention to be the bigger issue than recruitment. They can get people in the door, but they can't hold them once they do come in the door. So it requires strategies from both a retention standpoint as well as the recruitment standpoint. But in closing for this segment, Phil, how about a couple of closing comments and thoughts from you?
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I do have a couple of thoughts. One is simply, never pass up a chance to tell your members thank you. That's worth its weight in gold. And the other is, never pass up a chance to improve your own leadership skills.
Okay, great. I don't think we could have asked for any better two key points, Phil. Thank you. A very, very critical comment to members of the organization, whether they anticipate getting it or not, it brings value. And, of course, we talked about the leadership issue and how it is so vital to making recruitment and retention of personnel work. Thanks, Bill. Jim, how about some comments from you?
Well, as I said earlier, this is not a new problem. We recognized it as early as mid-80s. So we've been searching, at least we've isolated a lot of the major issues. But my greatest concern is that as we isolate these issues, we need to address them. And I guess one part that bothers me is that administration keeps coming up, management, people management. And that is an issue that's going to have to be addressed. I don't know exactly how, but we need to pay attention to what we're finding.
Again, Jim, great words of wisdom, and I know that your experience with the leadership issue in past years with NVFC has brought about great commentary and great insight into what exactly needs to be done for future leaders of this fire service in America. So again, thank you for your participation today.
Thank you very much.
And Jack, how about you? A couple of final thoughts.
I think in closing, to remember that departments that have high standards and create environments that volunteers want to be a part of are two of the most critical things with the recruitment of, and certainly with the retention of, volunteer firefighters. It's a very challenging overall aspect of maintaining those people, and once you get them trained, you want to make sure that you keep them there, and you keep them there by making sure that there's an environment they want to be a part of and that they know that they're doing something that is appreciated in the community.
Well, Jack, again, right on focus about what we've talked about today. And I think it is a good point here to close with just reminding everybody about the three key points that were made in the introductory portion of this presentation. Number one, remember that retention and recruitment is a local problem. The needs, leadership, and the challenges are all local. Secondly, remember that recruitment is marketing and that you must market all the time. However, you need to determine for your organization what skill and knowledge sets you need to recruit for, and you need to conduct a needs assessment to make sure your investment of time is appropriate in trying to get new members and retain existing members. And point number three, remember that the benefit programs require you to know in advance what members want by polling them frequently to find out what incents them to continue to participate in the organization. But last, don't forget the key point we've talked about over and over and over again today, and that is leadership. Without quality leadership, our organizations will become stagnant. So leadership becomes the number one role in recruitment and retention, and getting a champion in your organization to lead your recruitment and retention drives is critical to long-term success. We hope you've gained something from today's discussion on recruitment and retention, and we look forward to being with you again at another future podcast from the National Volunteer Fire Council. Thank you.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.